whoever's listening, appreciate you listening, and you guys that are here, so honored that you'd come to Cowboy Church, spread the word, and get new people to come with you. Tell them about a church that is comfortable but preaches that word. Amen?
Amen.
Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Let me get there myself. Look at verse 30. Now, let me set it up for you because, as y'all know, I've been trying to teach you the last few services about being an overcomer in the midst of trials and tribulations. I actually call it conquering life's conflicts. And we're constantly in life's conflicts, especially in these days, which I call the last days, where the enemy constantly is causing trials and tribulations. And don't get that wrong for 1 minute, that God is getting the blame for bad things happening, because it's not God. There's a devil. Say it with me. He comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And God gets the blame way too often of bad things happening to people when he has the answers to get you out of those things. But that devil, he's wanting you to go through trials and tribulations, and he's wanting you to stay right in the middle of the trial and tribulation. Because if he can keep you in bondage, he's got you. He's got you defeated. He can tear you down just a little bit longer. And a lot of people, sad to say, stay in the midst of a trial and tribulation. They get offended. It happens at church. It happens out there with relations and so on. And if he can keep you offended, he's got you. And so we've been dealing with life's conflicts and how to overcome them and how to conquer them, praise God. Because you have to in these last days. Don't you let that devil convince you that that's just part of life. And part of, you know, a lady in a wheelchair come to me one time and said, "This is just how God made me. He made me to be in this wheelchair." I said, "Negatory, Ghost Rider." She looked at me like, "Huh?" I said, "No, God didn't create you to be in that wheelchair. He created you to get up, rise, and walk in Jesus' name." Boy, once they start getting faith in that, they'll get up and walk in Jesus' name. And the enemy, though, is just constantly trying to defeat people. He wants you to go through the same problem over and over and over and keep you defeated in that problem. You know those people that say the same thing? "Well, I keep going through it over and over and over and over." When really, and God's trying to say, "Yeah, but the solution is right here in the Word of God if you just tap into it." And so that's what preachers are for. Hopefully we're to set it before you, the Word of God, and you get a hold of it. And that's what I want you to do today. If I titled this message, it would be called Overcoming a Grasshopper Mentality. Listen, look with me in verse 30 of Numbers chapter 13. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses." Now, again, I was going to set the message up, so let me try to do it again. Not get on a rabbit trail. Moses told who we called the 12 spies to go into the land and find the goodness of the land. He wanted them to find something good over there. And as y'all know, they were spies. They went undercover. 10 of them said things like this. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once, possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But men that went up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" And that's pretty negative, right? I mean, there's 10 of them that start this. Now, above, you just saw a couple, Caleb and Joshua. No, they didn't take that. They was not negative. But 10 of them, as we see in the Word of God, were. So it was a bad confession, in my opinion. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, here's what they said, the land through which we have gone to search it, or the promises, or the goodness of it, is a land that eats up its inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight. So not only in the giant's sight were they grasshoppers, they convinced themselves that they were just like grasshoppers. Just a little old mosquito, a bug, under the feet, smash it, and that's what they thought about themselves. But sadly to say, that's exactly what a lot of people out there think of themselves. Not this church. Say amen to that. But a lot of people have this grasshopper mentality. So I want to give you six things, and then we'll go do whatever we're going to do today, that will help you get out of the grasshopper mentality, because you don't want to be there. But yet, a lot of people are. A lot of people see themselves in the mirror as insufficient, not as good, ugly, and so on. And when you look in the mirror, you need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know the real you, the spirit man. Don't look at just the flesh. It's that third one that just comes and from the behind, but really you're a spirit that's in this body that has a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and so on. And so this is going to help your marriage. If you'll start thinking of yourself as the man of God God created you to be, say amen, men. Because men, as we've seen in even other churches, and could be this church, don't really know who they are in Christ. And therefore, women have to become men to try to be the... You know, let me tell you this. I was talking to my daughter. She's 15. And I don't know. I'm not afraid. She thinks I intimidate her. I said, well, I'll kill you if you do anything wrong. But other than that, don't be intimidated by me. And but we started talking about relationship. And I told her, listen, I've been praying for your husband that one day he is a godly man, someone that will be the leader spiritually of your home. And I'm trying to instill in her that don't be picking someone that is not the leader spiritually. I mean, I want someone that doesn't make her lead because she's a preacher's daughter. I want that man to rise up and be the spiritual leader that God's created them to be. Not just the food provider, the spiritual leader that women desperately need today. And you don't have to know all the Bible, but just saying, we're going to church, baby. Yeah, but man, I'm tired. No, we're raising our children in church. Not on the football field first. Not in baseball. No, we're raising them in church. And there may be some sacrifice. It was when I was in football. They made me choose. Because we do a lot of stuff on Sundays. Well, I told Jamie that when our kids were little, I want our kids raised up in church. That's how I was raised, and I turned out pretty good. No negative in this church. A lot of people have this grasshopper mentality, and it's defeating them. That's why people don't get healed in the church, because they have this grasshopper mentality. Well, God can't, he can't heal me. I'm not good enough, first of all. When in all reality, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because you're not moved by how good you are or how bad you are. You're not moved by what you see, feel, smell, taste, and touch. You're only supposed to be moved by this word of God. It is yes and amen. But we've got to get out of that grasshopper mentality so that we can go into the promised land. Because for 10 of them, they stayed defeated, busted, broke, disgusted, and all those other words. But here we are, God's kids, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Say amen to that, y'all. We are someone in Christ Jesus. We're not talking about, you know, being prideful. We're talking about, I know who I am in Christ. Therefore, if sickness and disease comes to try to attach itself to my body, being a man of God, I have the right, according to the word of God, the anointing of Jesus Christ that lives on the enemy, that lives on the inside of me, to forbid disease and sickness to enter this body. We just got to get that faith up, though, you know. So I want you to write them down, put them in your memory, about six things that will help us overcome a grasshopper mentality. And here's the first one. Attitude. Attitude about ourself. Because the attitude about ourself holds a significant place in our success and growth in the kingdom of God. Just how we view ourselves, our attitude about me. Now, my attitude about me could remember the bad things I did in college. And I bet we can go through the testimonies in this place and hear of all the things that you've overcome or you went through, how dumb we were, whatever. But we're, again, not moved by those things. We're only moved by what does God see about you? Well, he sees a healed man of God. Amen. No matter what you feel, right? No matter what you've been through, he sees an awesome man of God. Yeah, but I don't feel righteous. It doesn't matter how you feel, remember? So we're not moved by what we feel. We're moved by that word that says when you gave your life to Jesus, you were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are a woman of God, you see, because you were made in God's, as y'all know, his image. You were made in his life. Yeah, but I just don't feel worthy. Yeah, but it doesn't matter what you feel, because we're not moved by what we feel. We're only moved by, say it, the word of God. Say it with me, the word of God. We're not moved by what we see. Yeah, I don't see success here. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Because you're not moved, brother, by what you see. You're moved by that word. You don't know what I've been through. I mean, I've been beat up and people's done me wrong. Mama left. Dad's gone. Growed up by myself. Don't have any money. In foster care all my life. I mean, that's all. I hear these things, you see. I'm not that good. I'm not worthy because they told me I wasn't worthy. But if we can convince them, no, you're worthy, and they can get this attitude about, I mean, a good football team sees themselves, and they might be a lot smaller, but if they see themselves as successful, oh, man, they can beat a lot of big teams. Attitude about oneself is very strategic in the growth of your life in the kingdom of God. Number two. Sometimes people are governed by thoughts of past failures. And we just have to talk about that because, again, The enemy wants every one of us to remember what we did back when, even this morning, which then causes us to start. I mean, we start beating ourselves up pretty bad. Oh, man, I did it again. You ever heard that song? Who was that by? Said it before us. It's me again, Margaret. Ray Stevens. It's me again. Well, that's been my life. I've gone to the Lord's Father. Forgive me, I did it again. I apologize, sir. And in my mind, the enemy then is saying, yeah, you're no good. You won't ever defeat that. Okay, if I let my mind meditate on that the enemy brought to my mind, it'll come to pass because you're meditating on that. Okay, but the word tells us that we're to take every thought captive, right, unto the obedience of Christ. And I've given you all this example for 13 years. The only way to change your thought life is to change it. In other words, it just won't automatically, magically change. You have to make it change. When you're thinking of that apple and how it looks, right, and that apple is green or it's red in your mind, it has a stem or it doesn't, it's cut up or it's whole, that is in your mind. But the only way to get your mind to not think about that apple is you have to think of something else, a banana. And when you think of that banana, is it long? Is it peeled? Is it cut up? Is it green or is it yellow? We can go through here and everybody's different. What is it? Who is it green in some of your mind? Is it? There's one. Is it yellow? Who's thinking of a yellow banana? Whose banana is cut up? You're prepared, my Lord. Are you hungry? Because mine's still whole, see. Right? And honestly, if it's peeled, I mean, that's the thoughts that we have. But you notice when you're thinking of a banana, you're not thinking of an apple anymore because you made your mind think. In other words, you took that apple thought captive. You sent it out and you started thinking of something else. That's exactly how you get in your mind to overcome things that are the bad thoughts, the past failures in your mind. No, you start telling people that's the old you. There's a time when, and the enemy does this. I mean, I remember a boy walked up to me and said, I've held a grudge against you for 7 years. He's my friend. I said, why? What'd I do? He said, well, I was with you in college when the party was at your house. Remember? I said, yeah, you was beside me. Little smarty. He said, yeah, but now you're preaching the word of God and I held a grudge because I knew you then, and now you're trying to be something different. I said, yeah, that was the old me. There's a time when you've got to say, no. I'm not going to allow someone else to remind me of my past. I'm going to press forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus and forget those things that are behind. That's how you overcome the thoughts of past failures. Number three, the Apostle Paul mentions an importance of right thinking. So number three is no more stinking thinking. Because stinking thinking will mess you up, man. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. A lot of people have stinking thinking. I'm not good enough. It's just my luck. I was born on the wrong side of the track. I was born a little too late. And I mean, their thinking is just flat terrible. I want to be around people that are positive, that will build you up. Oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do if I don't get another job. I'm going under. No, not me. I'm going to steer clear of those people. Or if they'll let me, I'll say, no, you're a winner, not a loser. No, if you can do all things through Christ, why don't you just call in work in Jesus' name? I thank you, Father, for the favor of God that work comes my way because I'm an anointed man of God that serves the anointed one, Jesus. You see, if we start getting rid of stinking thinking, it'll change our lives because it stinks. No bueno por nada. Savvy? Bueno. That's all we know, bueno. See. Number four. Being offended and discouraged is very dangerous to our confidence. Being offended and discouraged is very dangerous to our confidence. This is a big one, y'all. How many times have people gotten offended in a relationship, family, and they don't talk anymore? I mean, think about it. You probably know someone, if it's not you, that's had opportunities to be offended over family stuff. Oh, don't get me started on the church. Ooh, Jesus. Because people get offended in church real quick. It's not perfect. We say the wrong thing sometimes. We do the wrong stuff. God, forgive us, please. Because offense and discouragement are dangerous to one's confidence. The fourth thing that I'm teaching my daughter, she started it, and my son, is confidence is key. Remember the first one, class? Y'all remember it? Number one, never give up. That's two, ma'am. At least you know it. Number one, don't you ever give up. That's what I'm teaching my kids. Number two, don't you be late. I'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. People just, they're used to being late. I mean, I know y'all are looking at each other right now. He's talking to you. No, he's talking to you. No, I'd rather, yeah. Hey, thank God we're honest, right? I'm not saying you don't blow it sometimes, but I'm telling you, when you got integrity, now I'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. Man, you want to talk about get promoted in a job. Those ones that just don't care, though, I don't care. They always struggle in areas. No. But that third one is what? Y'all remember it? Always be kind. Man, we've got to be kind. Even in the midst of persecution. And that's hard for us cowboys, right? I mean, when they're talking bad about us, Western folk, that Tabasco's sauce is coming up the legs. Huh? You know what I mean? We went to Right Turn Clyde on my mom's post, and not very many people understand. Y'all know what Right Turn Clyde is, right? Let me see your hand if you understand that. Well, honestly, let me see your hand if you don't understand that. Doris! You don't understand. John, teach her. Right Turn Clyde. Clint Eastwood. The monkey. You know Clyde the monkey? Remember? Remember when they were riding in the convertible and the motorcycle people, and he says, right turn Clyde, and Clyde would always pop them in the... Stretch your hands towards her. You're that righteous holy one. I don't watch TV. That's good. I like that one. Yeah, turn it back on me. I don't do that sinful TV stuff. Where were we? Anyway, right turn Clyde. We want to do that, right? They mess with us, It's like a chicken messing with someone messing with the chicken's little babies. You'll get your eyes pecked out. Mess with a mama's kid. Ooh, Jesus, right? How many have kids? Oh, man. Mamas? They mean when you mess with a kid, right? They forget Christian stuff. Your eyes will not be there any longer. Crazy. But again, offense, discouragement's a dangerous thing to our confidence. Number five, choosing right thinking can lift your own life just by choosing right thinking. In other words, we've got to choose thoughts that are consistent with God's word. Things like, I'm an overcomer. Because that's lining up with the word then. Not, oh, it's just my luck. It's just part of it. The lady in the wheelchair, remember? She was trying to convince me that was, and I tell you, it's bringing back to my memory, it was the daughter of the lady in the wheelchair that was the worst.